Well, please turn your Bibles with me again to Acts 5. Acts chapter 5, where tonight as we continue our journey through Acts, we come to another episode in the life of the early church that shows just how quickly things can change for God's people. And that's sort of the theme, as you can see there on your message guide, all may change. It's a lot like the different kinds of weather and the seasons that we experience, where the only constant seems to be change. Especially here in Indiana. Today's weather is one of those kinds of experiences. And so, with the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira still fresh in the memories of both the church and the community in and around Jerusalem, we read this in Acts 5, verse 11, where great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. But after this, the church begins to experience a fresh and new season. And that is a season of great comfort and progress, which we read about in verses 12 through 16. And by the hands of the apostles, it says, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. At least that was their hope. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So again, this was a season of great comfort and progress for the church, because Jesus was still at work. He was still at work using his people and especially his apostles to do powerful works of healing, both physically and spiritually. And that must have felt a lot like springtime in the church. Everything was new. Everything was vibrant. Everything was fresh. And instead of going into the world to reach people for Christ, right now, the world was coming to them, even if it was just out of curiosity. But even during this season of comfort and progress, there was still a mixed response to the apostles. And we can see those responses in verses 13 and 14. There were some who responded with fear, according to verse 13. It says that the rest, or of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. Now, when you look at that verse, the question comes to mind, who are the rest? Who are they talking about here? We're not 100% sure who they're talking about, who these rest are. But it seems to refer to those who had the same heart and the same spirit as Ananias and Sapphira, because we just come off of that episode in their life when Ananias and Sapphira were judged for their lying to the Holy Spirit. So it seems like of the rest are those who had the same heart, the same spirit as them. And so the story of their deaths kept others, the rest of them, away from the church out of fear. And in that way, God was able to keep his church pure. But there were some who responded with fear. Also in verse 13, there were some who responded with favor. There were other people that magnified them. They magnified the apostles and what was being done. So these common people were curious about what was going on there in Jerusalem, that people were being healed, and they wanted to get in on the action. But you have to wonder, how long would that excitement and interest last? Would it continue to flourish? But there were still some who responded with faith. And we read this in verse 14, where there were believers. The more added to the Lord, multitudes, multitudes, both of men and women. And now we lose count. At first it was 120, and then there was 3,000 added, then up to 5,000, and now multitudes. And the clock stops because it just continues. So there were some that responded with faith. So even during this season of relative comfort, this season of relative growth, there was a mixed response, wasn't there? Just like there is today. Even in the best of churches and the best of circumstances, there is a mixed response to the truth of the gospel. And so once again, the only constant was change. And it didn't take too long before another season took its place. Because in verses 17 through 26, we read about another season. And that is a season of great confusion. A season of great confusion. Picking up in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him. So they hurried as fast as they could. In verse 18, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison, which probably also was somewhere along the temple. They put them in the common prison. Verse 19, but we know the end of the story here. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. So all that commotion in Jerusalem and that commotion in the temple itself led once again to a conflict with both the religious and political leaders of the Jews. And it became a time of great confusion. The leaders were confused because they didn't know what to make about or what to do with the apostles and with that newfound church. In fact, in verse 24, we read that they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They were perplexed. They were confused. But I also think that the church was probably a bit confused as well, because even as the apostles were there in that common prison on that one night, they probably wondered, why is this happening to us, Lord? You commissioned us to go and share the gospel and to preach, and we're doing that, but now here we are, bound in prison. What are we doing? Lord, how are we to continue the ministry that you called us to do? Well, we read in verses 19 and 20 that God provided clarity in the middle of those clouds of confusion when the angel of the Lord by night opened those prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. No confusion there. And so how did the apostles respond? They obeyed. They obeyed and they continued to witness the way they were told. They spoke faithfully. They went back to the exact same place where they were arrested. Actually, some believe that they ventured even further into the temple, because before they were preaching at Solomon's porch. And the angel said, go into the temple. So they might have even gone further in, and they spoke the same things that got them into trouble in the first place. They spoke faithfully. They spoke fearlessly. The Lord gave them the courage they needed to continue to speak to the people all the words of this life, which is clearly a reference to the gospel. Because in seasons of confusion, there are still things that are very clear for God's people. Sometimes there's confusion in our country, confusion in our world. But Christians have a clear mission. We still have to go and stand and speak as the apostles did, faithfully and fearlessly, even when that season of confusion will lead to another season, like a season of great conflict. A season of great conflict, which we read about in verses 27 and 28. Because when they had brought them, when the captain of the temple guard brought all of those apostles, likely all 12 of them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, at this point, the apostles might have felt that the harshness of the winter season had once again fallen upon them, because persecution is about to take place. But God graciously gave them the strength they needed to withstand this storm and conflict as well, because they could not help speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ, because they had a greater master. In verse 29, Peter speaks for the other apostles, and he answers and says, we ought to obey God rather than men. That is a principle that we always need to remember as Christians, that God is always our highest authority. In our country, we have certain levels of laws. We have local, state, we have federal laws. But none of those laws are to go against the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution. And yes, as God leads us, we are to obey the laws of this land, whether federal, whether state, or whether local. But when any of those laws contradict to the law of God, we ought to obey God rather than men. We have a higher master. But we also see in verses 30 and 31, they had a greater message. And they couldn't stop preaching and teaching about Christ. Peter continues, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with a right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." You see, even if people don't want to hear the truth, like those Jewish leaders, we still have the responsibility to share the truth. Because if you pick up on what the leaders said in verse 28, they said to Peter and the other apostles, "You intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And the apostles said in verse 30, "You brought this blood upon yourself." Peter said, "You slew and hanged him on a tree." You see, they were culpable. They were guilty. It's nothing about someone forcing that guilt on them. They already are. And the truth is, that is our message as well. It's the whole council. We ought to tell people what the Bible says. We can't water it down. We can't change it because that is the message that we have. But we also see in verse 31 that they had a greater mission. Peter continues, "We are his witnesses of these things." They were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection. They were witnesses of these things. "And so is also the Holy Ghost," he adds, "whom God hath given to them that obey him." You see, they were, and we are, God's own witnesses of these things. And our witness is confirmed by the witness of God himself through the work of the Holy Spirit. So even if it feels like winter is settling in once again, like it did this morning a little bit, remember that God has called us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is what God has called us to do. But then we also see another season. Another season, which is a season of great, we'll say, contemplation. When it seems as if someone in the world becomes a friend to the church. And that's perhaps what it must have felt like in verses 33 through 42. When the Pharisees heard this message of Peter, it says they were cut to the heart. Now that's not conviction of sin. They were upset. They were mad. They were cut to the heart. And they took counsel to slay them. There was no repentance there. But then a voice of reason stands up. Verse 34, "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." So now the apostles are not within earshot. "And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught." Verse 37, "After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." At this point, as Gamaliel, this Jewish teacher held with great respect, we hear about him a little bit later where Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel as well. At this point, things are looking pretty good once again for the church, because in his providence, God used the common sense wisdom of Gamaliel to give his church some time and space to heal and to grow. Now, this has happened throughout church history. We learned in Sunday school about Constantine the Great, the Emperor of Rome, who was converted to Christianity. And after many years, even decades of severe persecution, God gave the church some time and space to heal and to grow. We see it in the Reformation, where even Martin Luther was being persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church, and there was a friend of his who was of Saxony. He was a leader, a political ruler, and he protected Martin Luther to give him time and space for healing and growth. We see with the founding of our own country, to give a place of refuge for believers in Christ to come and to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience through the Word of God. And so we see this time and time again where it begins here with Gamaliel. So things are looking up for the church. But even this, though, even that common sense wisdom does not prevent further conflict. Because even though in the very next verse, in verse 40 of chapter 5, we read, "And to him they agreed." So the entire council says, "You know what, Gamaliel? That makes sense. That makes sense. You use some historical, logical arguments. That makes sense." But it is clear that they did not agree entirely. Because in the same breath, we read, also in verse 40, that when they had called the apostles back and had beaten them, that's hardly leaving them alone completely, then they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. So they still didn't heed all of the counsel of Gamaliel. But for a moment, it seemed like the storm clouds had drifted away. But just like it always happens, it didn't take too long at all for the next front to blow right on in. But I want us to look at how the apostles responded to that new storm, that new season. Look at verse 41 and 42 as we end this chapter. It says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So what was the response of the apostles? Well, instead of sorrowing, I mean, they had left beaten. And it is very possible that they had been beaten the way the Jews would render punishment, that 40 stripes save one, so 39 times perhaps. But instead of sorrowing in pain, they rejoiced, it says. Instead of leaving, instead of saying, "We're out of here, we have enough with Jerusalem, we don't want any part of the city anymore," instead of leaving, what did? They returned. They returned to the city, to the temple, to wherever God would lead them. And then instead of silence, they repeated their words, and ceased not, it says, to teach and preach Jesus Christ. One thing that we can learn from these verses is that the church must learn to expect the unexpected in this world. Because there might still be seasons of comfort or confusion. There still might be seasons of conflict or even contemplation where it seems like there's someone in the world that is a friend of the church. But just like there was at the temple in those days, the atmosphere in which we live and worship and serve may change as suddenly today as it did then. Because think about all that took place within the span of just 2 days. But we need to remember that God can still use whatever season we are in life or as a church. He can still use whatever season we are in to further the words of this life as we respond like the apostles in faith and faithfulness to Him. So yes, all may change. It can change in an instant. It can change tomorrow. We come on a Sunday and we worship comfortably. We could go home and we never know what might happen. We never know the atmosphere in which we will live as Christians. It may all change even in a single place and on a single day like it did then. But as Christians, we can be confident that even though all may change, as we're going to sing in a moment, but Jesus never. He is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so, in these times of seasonal change, in our lives, in our church, what must we do? Look to the one constant that we have, and it's not change. The one constant we have is the Lord. So let's run to Him. Let's pray to Him. Let's ask Him for His strength and help to be faithful, even in those times of change. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, I thank You that You have shown to us in Acts chapter 5 what it might be like for us as Christians and as a church. From times of comfort to times of confusion to times of great conflict and even to times of other changes, it can happen in a moment. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us not to relax and to rest thinking that the way things are the way things always will be. Instead, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to find you as our never-changing constant. That we will realize that a relationship with you is something that is far greater, because it will establish our feet on that rock so that when those storms come, when those seasons change, we can continue to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we will look at the responses of the apostles, especially during those times of seasonal change in the church. That, Lord, you will enable us to remain faithful and fearless as we seek to live for you and serve you, come what may. Because, Lord, we do know that all may change, but you never will. So, Father, I pray that this week, as we think about these things, that we will commit our life into your loving and unchanging hands. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.